It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is funny in that? Why does he laugh?
Well, they want it to happen. I think he's uncomfortable because it's not happening. That's Sam Kennedy, Red Sox president. By the way, he will kick off the front office report, I am told, with you and the Greg Hill Show this Thursday, 9 a.m. Back again. Alex Cora on with Afternoons, 2:30 this Wednesday.
I will say the sit-down with Cora down in spring training was awesome.
Yeah.
Like 25 minutes. So, like, just.
Who's the face of the Red Sox, by the way? Cora or
Wally.
Bregman?
Wally.
Yeah. Or Wally and Tessie.
I might go Framingham's own, Lou.
Lou is on the call today, 1 o'clock, with Hall of Fame Joe right here on WEI. By the way, the big three, you don't like that title, but they're all in there. Campbell leading off, Roman Anthony 7th in center field, and Marcelo Meyer hitting 9th in the third base today. Campbell's going to make the team, I think. So that's of all the kind of surprises. He can't hit right now, but they like him. They're going to run him out there. But the crochet news is not good. Chris Cotillo and Mass Live reporting yesterday that a source with knowledge of talks told Mass Live late Friday a crochet extension is less than likely before he starts opening day Thursday. There is believed to be a large gap between the sides at present time.
I'm not worried about it at all.
So I know it's like it's a 2-year away thing. As I said yesterday, I fear abandonment here. I don't want something good to get away, and he is good, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that.
But wouldn't this fly in the face of everything the Red Sox have said about pitchers? Like, so you don't need to guarantee years in the future to get 2 years of an ace. And if everything goes well and you get 2 great years and you can extend him, you know, the trade deadline in a year and a half from now, why wouldn't you just do it that way?
I don't want to trade him at the trade deadline. I hope they're competing. Extend him next year. So I guess it depends what they're offering and what he's asking for. If he's asking for $400 million, like a record contract.
But why wouldn't you if you're him? You have all the leverage.
Well, because you're making $4 million this year. You don't have all the leverage. You want to make more than $4 million
this year. He's 25 years old.
What if he has Tommy John?
Exactly. And so that's the team saying, why would I give him $400 million now? And if I'm Crochet, why wouldn't I ask for $400 million now? Well, again, he doesn't think he's going to get hurt. And if you get Tommy John, it's no longer a death sentence. I mean, then in a year and a half, you'll be a free agent. You'll be coming off Tommy John.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns here just in terms of what the gap is, what they're offering, and what he's asking for.
I'm sure the Red Sox are offering not nearly what he's asking. I mean, that would be part and parcel with how they run business.
Like, do you think they're offering like 5 for $110? It's like an embarrassing offer.
The 3-year, $25 million, like they gave Lester,
the Xander Bogaerts preliminary.
Pete Abraham will report after that they were in on him. But I don't. I mean, there was a time in my life where this would really bother me. 2 years feels like an eternity right now. So that's fine. We'll see how he is.
So you're good with him just riding it out?
Of course.
Wow. But you just positive Red Sox. You're. I mean,
what's
no
the downside?
Fear at all. Well, again, the downside is he's 2 years and gone. You traded right. two first-round picks for him.
So, like, that would be like me ripping the Red Sox for giving the three opt-outs or the two opt-outs to Bregman. Well, if he has a great year and he opts out, great.
Well, okay, but you're going to complain in 2 years if he had won two Cy Youngs, they had two playoff runs, and they allow him to leave.
Okay, let's say next year they win the World Series and he leads them to it, and then he leaves. I'll say, awesome World Series. That sucks he's gone. Let's go get another guy.
What if they don't win the World Series? They're close, and then they get worse because he departs.
But why would I rip them for something they haven't done yet?
Well, you're speculating about what's the worst that could happen. I'm telling you this is the worst that could happen.
Right, that he leaves in 2 years.
Right.
Okay, great. I'll take two great years. We haven't had an ace around here in like five.
Okay, I would prefer to extend him now. I would love to see it. It would put the perfect ribbon, the bow, for perfect bow on this offseason.
Do you do air checks with Sam Kennedy?
I don't.
Okay, because if you did, just ask him why he laughs randomly.
But Breslow and I are tight.
Brez?
Brez.
So you're not that tight, because I call him Brez.
By the way, long article from Jen McCaffrey.
Oh my God, I read that today. Oh my God.
It is a deep dive into the Doge restructuring of Breslow, the R&D restructuring. He has created four baseball departments: baseball signees, baseball systems. No, sorry, baseball sciences, baseball systems.
Do we believe this is Breslow? Like, give me a break.
What do you think? It's John Henry?
Yes.
Well, this is a smart guy. He wants to have his.
So you think he wanted to limit the amount of people around him and gut the budget? What are you talking, Ken? Are you this dumb?
No, he restructured it in like a scientific way. I don't think
so. There weren't cuts.
There were cuts, and then some ads. They brought in Sportsology to take a look at everything.
Right.
They went to Driveline.
Right.
They teamed up with Kyle Boddy.
That'd be like cutting Wiggy and putting in Jackson.
I think it would work. Jackson, by the way, I know he makes Greg uncomfortable, but every time he's on, he delivers in some way.
What are you talking about?
He's so bad he's good. He's creative.
Do you remember what your job description is?
And then he's good at trivia, which is just shocking. Like, you got to acknowledge that.
Well, he had one job to create questions for a trivia, and he didn't even make them about half the questions.
Yeah, but Shine lost, and it was kind of fun.
So you think it was on purpose?
I'm not saying it was on purpose.
Okay.
He's just a radio guy.
He really is.
I like Jackson. Greg is uncomfortable with him. He's doing a good job. I'm happy to have him.
Did you like the Hill note that was talking about the lady parts that got on the air?
So that's why we have a dump button.
Okay.
It probably should have been used.
Very interesting.
Anyway, you're excited about the Sox, and nothing's going to get you down, is what you're telling me.
We got 5 days until we have something to watch every day until football season. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. I actually find this team likable.
And you're down on the draft, by the way. Tough to get you in the draft talk.
Nobody knows anything. They're going to take Travis Hunter if he's there, and then we'll figure it out 5 months later. Like I was watching...
Shime has his mock. He knows a lot.
He's
coming up at noon, by the way.
McShay... with Rich Eisen yesterday, and even Rich Eisen, the host of the draft, was like, can we freaking get to the draft? It's way too far away.
Well, we have a countdown clock in here, at least we did.
Yeah.
How many days are we out?
Gresh took the clock.
We're 5 days from the Red Sox opener.
I just said that.
Which is big.
What is it, 1 o'clock?
Today, 1 o'clock.
No, the actual season opener.
No. I think it's at 4:35.
Right, Jacob's right, 4:35.
Right, first pitch. Remember when the Red Sox used to do like 7:07?
No, 4:05, Jacob.
Gosh, right. Jacob. Come on.
Facts straight. BC kid, he's still rattled from the Eagles getting bounced by Northeastern.
I've been on a hunger strike.
What an embarrassment. You lose at Connie Forum to Northeastern, who's had a terrible year.
I couldn't tell you one player on the team. Or you, I don't even know what the coach's name is. He's a handsome guy. I don't know. He's young. He's like a young Jerry
Jacob
York.
Jacob calls the game. What's the coach's name, Jacob?
Greg Brown.
Oh, they got to fire that guy.
Yeah, that's what the Husky fans have on their
you
pants.
You lose the Northeastern, you get fired. That's the...
Yeah, the number one overall seed in the hockey tournament. Anyway. I think the Red Sox will win the division this year.
Bang.
I am thrilled to have October baseball back.
Bang.
And it will be a Boston town this fall.
I mean
a Red Sox town this fall.
Sneaky underrated X factor emerging. You know who it is?
No.
Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
The closer. Driving that truck. You and Wiggy.
That social media post still has me so skeeved out.
Which one?
Where he was like groping his mom.
Oh, God. That's how many years now? We're past this.
It was like 2 years ago.
Oh, maybe I'm misremembering.
It was bizarre. Anyway, I mean, odd guy, but, you know, hey, he scares people, and he's the closer. Let's do it.
Do you think he'll be a fan favorite? Like, anybody who throws hard
as a closer. No, I don't think he's a fan favorite. I would hope not.
It's not going to be like Papelbon. He's not going to have some kind of a song.
He's more Oogie Urbina than he is Papelbon.
Hendricks in the eighth, though, could be good. Hendricks, Chapman, 8-9.
Hendricks in the eighth, Williamson in the ninth.
It's going to be a good year. Now, My man Bayo.
No love for the Oogie Urbina.
I love Oogie Urbina.
Well, you shouldn't. He's been in jail. He like lit people on fire.
He was a good closer back before he went off the rails.
Who is the most? Oh, I guess we can't do that because there's a clear one. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, who else about this team? I mean, Bregman's going to be.
I have a new sign. It just says Pouty Devers, and I'm going to just root for his misery DHing.
But even him, you're not even that concerned about.
No, because he has literally no leverage. If he doesn't show up, he doesn't get paid. Everybody around the team wants him to DH. Nobody's on his side, and the team's good. And if he doesn't play, he's going to hurt the team.
And Trevor Story's back in today. He had back spasms yesterday.
Next year, I would rather the team trade Casas for Vladdy Jr. than extend Crochet. How about that?
Well, Vladdy, they're talking in Toronto like they're going to sign him now.
I don't think so. The loonies and the toonies.
You know, the tariffs are going to hit.
Logging. Log jam.
Yeah. I am nervous to go over the border now. I mean, are they going to I go to Canada a lot, as you know. You know, my wife's from there. Are they going to let me into Canada now? Yeah, there's a lot of hostilities.
I think it'll be just fine.
Okay, you think I'll be safe?
Yeah, and you also, I don't know if you noticed, egg prices have gone down.
They have,
yeah.
Okay, not a big egg buyer. Andy Hart buys like six cartons.
You brought it up randomly recently. You said, why are the egg prices?
Okay, well, I'm glad you keep me posted. Yep. I mean, stock market's good. Everything's...
It's going in the right direction. I think we're thriving. I mean, yeah. Unless you're in private equity, then you're doing everything right.
You can reach the Ken and Curtis Show at 617-779-7937. Are you excited about this Red Sox team? Are you nervous at all about the Crochet extension, which is not happening? Or are you like Curtis, 2 years is fine? I heard Bradfield actually talking about this, and he seems to think like you do, that it's an understandable position for the Red Sox to have. They're afraid of the bad contracts that they have signed with certain players. But they have him for 2 years, and if they have to overpay in 2 years, fine.
But if you want him here, then Sam Kennedy saying what he said was so silly. Like, what's the upside of that if his family wants to be here?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think that
doesn't help. Whatever.
I don't think Crochet cares. You and I talked to him, and he doesn't seem like that's going to bother him.
Yeah, I don't think he and Sam are going to go play nine holes at Leo Jay this weekend.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to motivate him to sign either. So it's kind of a non.
But there's zero good that would come of that.
Yeah.
What's the upside of Sam saying that?
There's no downside, but probably no upside.
Well, there could be a downside. I mean, it could irk the agent or someone close to him if his wife's like, why is the president of the team saying we don't want to be here? He doesn't have a wife.
Because that's Max Fried's agent too, right? So they offered Fried money, and they probably want similar money, and obviously the Red Sox are not there.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
And, you know, you look at the division, and the Orioles acquired...
By the way, Ottavino's just got cut. Damn.
Oh, Northeastern.
My guy.
Another one bites the
dust. Speaking of Northeastern... He and Matt Moore have been informed they are not making the team. Cuts are going to come in fast and furious today.
I remember you were all pissed that they didn't sign Ottavino when he went to the Yankees.
Well, he was good.
Another dumb take.
Not a dumb take.
Dodged a bullet there, in my opinion.
Thank you, Jacob. I think we really did.
God, you can hear the bitterness. Jacob is not handling it well. BC's back in this week, or the regionals, right?
I have no idea.
Back in the Frozen Four?
Not quite yet. Regionals on Friday.
Friday.
Moore got released. No.
I told you. Listen, you pay attention.
You said Adam Ottavino.
Yes, Ottavino and Moore.
Well,
Moore from Jacob, who's got your trending update right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics beat up on the Jazz last night 121-99. Kristaps Porzingis led the way with 27 points, and Tatum followed close behind with 26, including a bucket, which was set up by an unintentional rainbow soccer kick. The Red Sox are in action today, spring training against the Rays in Port Charlotte. First pitch is at 1:05. Joe Castiglione and Lou Merlone have the call right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Here's the Red Sox lineup for today. Leading off at second, Christian Campbell. At DH, Masataka Yoshida. Shortstop, Trevor Story, cleanup. In right field, Willier Abreu. In left field, Nick Sogard. Catching, Carlos Narvaez. In center field, Roman Anthony. At first base, Abraham Toro. At third base, Marcelo Meyer. And pitching, Tanner Houck. The round of 32 is today. It starts today in the men's March Madness basketball tournament. Right down the road from Brighton in Providence, there's an impressive slate of games. First, Purdue versus Oricon and McNeese at 12:10. Then, St. John's versus Arkansas at 2:40. You can listen to the early games on WEEI 850 AM, then check back in on WEEI FM for the rest of the games after the conclusion of the Red Sox game. In NFL free agency news, the Giants signed Jameis Winston to a two-year deal worth $8 million with an opt-out after year one for the team. Maine won the Hockey East last night after defeating UConn 5-2. The Black Bears are the first team not from the state of Massachusetts to win the Hockey East tournament since Maine in 2004. And the Bruins are in San Jose tonight. Puck drop is at 10:30 p.m. My name's Jacob Lastner, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy spring, Curtis. New era right now. Tournament going on. Red Sox about to start. Patriots in the draft on the way. Free agency almost over. There is a little free agency nugget from Milton Williams. He was on with NFL Media last night and talked about the Pats swooping in to grab him at the last moment. He said, quote, "My agent was on the phone. They were on the phone talking to teams. Teams were coming in with new deals, a lot going on, happening fast. They talked about Carolina. I was like, all right, that sounds like the best offer. And then a split second later, New England hops on and was like, nah, this is what we got for you. Carolina felt they went too high on the number. They stayed where they were. New England came in. It was over after that. They wanted me the most and made me a priority. So I made them a priority," end quote. So this
has Busto written all over it.
Oh, really?
I mean, how many Raiders guys? Who's the guy that was the Cowboys' MVP linebacker in the Super Bowl, and then the Raiders gave him this like record deal and he was gone a year later? It was Brown, last name. Anyway, Cowboys Super Bowl MVP.
Well, not Robert Spillane, who's going to be a banger here. No. The former Raider. I don't know who you're talking about there. Anyway, somebody on the text line will fight it. But do you think the post-Belichick...
Larry Brown.
Oh, Larry Brown.
God, I had the name and everything. Super Bowl 30. Wiggy's favorite, XXX.
He was a cornerback.
Cornerback.
Oh, corner, yeah. Oh, he's the MVP.
Right. And then he went to the Raiders.
All right. Not Larry Brown, the coach, who coached forever in the NBA.
Who beat the Heatles with the only, I believe, NBA coach to win a NCAA championship and a NBA championship.
Was Larry Brown pro Patino or Cal? Who's he got today in Providence?
I got Coach Cal.
I know you're a big, you're Calipari over Patino, even though Patino has the charm of the Celtics, Larry Bird's not walking through that door quote that we played.
He fired Ron Auerbach.
Well, you know, he's a disaster here, but there's just something about him that is attached to the city.
A great moment in my book that will be released, the 90s Loserville, that was the Celtics opening night victory over the Bulls with Rick Pitino, it was like they're back. Shawmut Center was electric. The whole world.
How much control did Pitino have? Did he run the entire show? Like
I don't know. I watched that in Marbella in the morning. It was like Halloween of 1996 or something like that.
Well, another 90s memory with George Foreman passing away.
Oh.
15-year-old Ken Laird watching the HBO pay-per-view, Michael Moore, Foreman, Battle for the Ages or whatever it was.
Michael Moore was a boxer?
Not that Michael Moore. Oh. Michael Moore, Pittsburgh native, who got knocked out in the ninth round by George, was just stunning. I was like, the fight was boring, one-sided, and then Foreman just lands that power punch. How old were you in 94?
94, I was 10.
You watched that fight?
I
thought it was fixed. I still think it could have been fixed.
Did you call into the fan?
I might have, yeah. And then, like, all the Foreman grills took off right after that.
I gotta tell you, the George Foreman grill, God rest his soul, never got it.
Everybody on the block had it, though.
Everybody had it. Oh, we had it. We had it in BC. But the greatest, to me, it's tough to say the greatest, but Mount Rushmore, Office episodes, The injury, where Michael wakes up in the middle of the night, turns on his George Foreman grill with bacon on it, and then he wakes up to the smell of crackling bacon. He woke up and he stepped on the George Foreman grill and had to go to the hospital, and it was one of the best episodes of all time.
Well, he was a marketing genius, reinvented himself. And then today, the new era of marketing genius, you've got Amir Khan, McNeese State student manager, in an Aura jumpsuit. Tommy Freezepops just posted this on social media. The student manager, first NIL deal ever, getting McNeese State warmed up down in Providence. You could have been at the forefront of this with Yuka Agbaye 25 years ago. Instead, you dropped the ball. This kid is on it.
Yep.
This is his 15 minutes. He is going to be big throughout this tournament. They got to win today.
Have you been watching or no?
A little bit. Just like bits and pieces. Like you. Nothing in the first couple days really grabbed me. But today I will watch.
Yeah. What time is the...
2:30 for the Arkansas...
Love it.
Pitino game.
Do we have that here?
We will have it on AM, and then we'll pick it up after the Red Sox on the FM.
It feels like just, doing this every day, that there is a palpable frustration with ownership of the Patriots. There is optimism about, Vrabel and the team being, stewarded properly. Mm-hmm. But there is a almost resignation and acceptance to the fact that they will never be spending at the level we all hope they would.
Well, that's why I think Diggs, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody cares about Diggs because he's not signed yet. But if he does sign, does that change the narrative? 1 year, $16 million,
something like that. No. It doesn't change the narrative, but it puts it in the right direction. I would just be fascinated to know what the ticket sales are like, what the season tickets are like. I mean, we were at that final home game, and it felt like BC against Navy 20 years ago at Alumni Stadium. Like, it was deadzo. I mean, beyond deadzo. Like, people weren't even watching the game.
But it was dead the year before in the rain when Bill's the last game, but he's probably feels so vindicated right now. I mean, God, watching Wiggy watch on social media on his phone the Bill video and reacting to it in real time, it is just stunning to see him on the beach with Jordan. And
did you see Shaughnessy's column on this where he said that many NFL teams feel like they dodged a bullet?
I can believe it. It's like he's cracked, or he's a total new person. I mean, he's just, how could you? I mean, would that have happened? Like, let's say that the Cowboys had signed him. Do you think Jerry Jones, he told Jerry, like,
oh, yeah, Jerry really frowns on that behavior. I mean, talk about a fraud if he had a problem with that.
Well, I know, but if he's demanding that Jordan is included on all emails, like, do you think he said, Jerry, I'll take the job, but you got to email Jordan?
All the shocking things, and they've all been shocking, how slow you've been to understand how much it was one person, but the most shocking component is the email request. Like, a guy,
it's amazing,
who was obsessed, like Nixonian levels of obsession of controlling news and information. That is that Nixonian?
Yeah.
Okay. So I try to slam the right. Mm-hmm. Where you are putting up fake draft boards so that you know if somebody leaks something and that who it came from, and Mangini the snake and all this stuff, that you're now having a 20-year-old on all emails related to the team.
Maybe she was just the most qualified. Maybe like that's his new bearish. Like, he had to interview a lot of candidates, and Jordan was just the most qualified.
Do you think that's why Bearish is staying with Billy O Honestly, he's cracked.
Do you think Bears is a new man? We should ask Billy O that. Is he the same way he was with Bill, or is he a free man? How do you know Billy? Oh, he's a BC kid. So Bears is a totally changed guy.
No, he's the same.
Oh, he's the same.
Oh,
same
so people Bears. Don't like Bears.
No, they do. He's changing the culture over at BC, I gotta say.
In what way?
So it's like the Belichick tree over there?
No nonsense.
So, if you're at Hillside, an extra half hour, he'll get yelling at you?
Oh, for sure. If you're on the football team, yeah, he's not messing around.
How good is the Hillside sandwich? Is it still great?
Fantastic.
God, I miss those. And the feeling of eating it and not feeling like you're putting on 50 pounds, the best feeling in the world. God, I miss that. Anyway.
Well, so the Belichick tree carries on then. But anyway,
what's your go-to at the Hillside? What's your sandwich?
I like the Nosh, it's called. It's in the morning. Just a bagel.
God, that's the worst answer you've ever had, Jacob.
Jacob's getting praised on the text line. Trending, though.
I didn't know Jacob was from a 647 zip code, area code.
Yeah. 847, that's one of our Chicago fans.
Do you dig rhetorical traditions at BC?
I did.
Oh, great class.
C413 texter defending Bill. Bill, he probably has Jordan check the emails because Bill doesn't check emails. She stays on top of it.
Is Bruce Pearl the best BC graduate becoming a head coach in any sport?
Oh, I didn't even know he was a BC guy. That's shame on me.
How do you not know Bruce Pearl, the points shaving stuff?
That's right. That's a shame on me.
Yeah,
I did terrible in rhetorical tradition.
Oh, really? Was it Bonnie Jefferson, the professor?
Christine Caswell.
Oh, I'm old.
Are you rooting for Bruce Pearl, then?
Yeah, I love Bruce Pearl.
Okay.
I refer anybody from the greater Boston region, Sharon Zone.
BC 82.
I used to have this ability that I could just root against Duke. I just hated Coach K.
Now you're Cooper Flagg in Maine.
But I can't. I don't hate those guys. I don't. It's not like the jersey. I hate the Yankees. I'll root against the Yankees. I hate Notre Dame. I'll always root against Notre Dame. I don't have that feeling with Duke. It was more Coach K.
Are you going to watch Belichick's games this year at UNC?
Of course.
It is kind of captivating. Though, he'll bring the ACC back in that sense.
I just marvel.
Our buddy Mark James was crushing the ACC on social media
but
yesterday.
He's a Miami guy. I don't get it.
No, he'd be the only one team making it, though.
Well, it was his dream to host Middays in Albuquerque, so I'm glad he's fulfilling it.
Marconi's in Seattle now.
Oh, Seattle. Close. But I watch this, maybe it was just going to the bar and because I was just watch every, Thursday, Friday were just the best days of the year. You would go out. It's just, I don't have that.
Well, it's this weekend.
Animus.
You're right. No, today, I think today there's animus. There's some names. There's good teams. As you said, it was all chalky. No 13 seed or lower advancing to the round of 32. First time that's happened in 10 years.
Are you mad about Sister Jean? Do you miss her?
Oh, Intel and Sister Jean. We have a guy who works here who went to Loyola. Disparaging comments about Sister Jean.
What?
Said she was nasty. Everybody hated her.
Well, fun fact. I went to CCD in Dover at the Church of the Most Precious Blood.
Okay.
Totally bizarre. And Sister Jean whacked me.
Did she?
We had a Sister
Not
Jean.
Hard enough.
She was, oh my God, maniacal. Right before the First Communion, I wasn't staying in line. Boom.
And what an emotional week for you. Going back to your rehab center and speaking.
Oh, man.
It was a very emotional lead you had yesterday.
It was wild. It's so crazy. It's you sit there, and in those moments I was there, in a million years I never would have thought I'd be anywhere near anything that I have the privilege to do. And it was I've been back before a couple times, but it was just something about leaving and driving down 3 minutes down the hill to Wachusett and walking in and seeing all these people. It was I was going to die, and now I'm here. It was amazing, but the people
and you were posting your Bobby Orr era photos this week of the pre-Curtis weight loss and
that was talking about the best Bobby Orr story.
Yeah,
that is who has a better Bobby Orr story than that?
That's a great story. He waited 90 minutes for you.
Not me. Dino was screaming to everybody on the plane that he was going to bring Bobby to dinner, and then we arrive at dinner and there's Dino and Kathy, no Bobby, and we say, "Where's Bobby?" He's like, And Bobby was seated in the Marriott Courtyard
signing
in
autographs.
Fort Myers, hanging out. How many people wait 90 minutes, let alone the greatest hockey player who ever lived?
Yeah.
The nicest guy on the planet. I had him waiting on the tarmac. Right. I arrived late to Hanscom because I didn't know I passed out drunk at 10 a.m. like a good American. And
you're in good shape now. You're much healthier now.
It's wild. It's a wild world. It was a crazy time. But I will say, I think, if we do, the pulse, where we are today, Patriots draft, like Patriots offseason in terms of talkable, yep, is number one. But this Celtics next 2 to 3 months takes on such added meaning because you don't know what the future holds.
Will Bill Chisholm be like courtside, or do you think he's going to stand, wait in the background until he takes over?
He has a big seat right in front of Pags.
That's a good question, too. Is Pags still going
to
show?
What if they move Pags to like 310?
Pags is just pissed.
What if Pags shows up with a LeBron jersey?
He's up on the 10th floor.
Any doubt now you're getting Celtics Lakers with all this craziness going on?
I know, and Cleveland's been on a skid. So I don't know what's happened to them. The East is opening up for you?
The NBA season is so freaking long.
You know who looked great last night? The Great Eight. Awesome. Porzingis was on fire last night to start the game.
He's like the unicorn, you know.
He's key. And if he's playing like this, then I'm back on this.
The first guy that I would cut would be Porzingis if I had to make big changes.
Really? Just because you don't trust him.
Right. That's the same reason he was available to the Celtics. Yeah, I think they still win it all without him. He was great to begin game one of the finals. Like that night, it was unbelievable. He had, 20 points in the first half?
Yep.
But they still win that series. Is there any doubt that the Celtics still beat the Mavericks without Porzingis?
They won in five. This year, it feels like they need him. Don't you agree?
I don't know. I mean, if you're saying the second apron is this place you have to get out of, and we need a better term for it because I don't know what the hell it means, then
that's not even the official term. I think there is some other term.
Why does the NBA do this to make it like this, like crazy, like Pythagorean theorem required to understand level exceptions, the Rose Rule, the Bird Rule? I feel like the only person that gets it is Bill Simmons.
But does it work? It's working in terms of parity, though. People don't like the NBA style.
Half the NBA has no shot before the season starts, at least.
That's not true.
What are you talking? Okay.
Like Wembanyama's coming in, San Antonio's coming
back. So you think
the
Spurs have a chance to win the championship?
Oklahoma City might make the finals. That's parity.
No, having two teams that can make the finals, that means that
Cleveland and Oklahoma City might be the NBA final.
That's not parity.
Well, everybody's got a shot. It's not just big markets.
No, I'm saying, so this year, entering the season, the Jazz, the Pelicans, the Spurs, the Blazers.
Well, the Jazz stink. I couldn't watch more than the
first quarter last night. The Wizards, the Hornets, the Sixers, the Nets, the Raptors, the Bulls. Like, none of those teams had a chance. The Hawks, more than half of the NBA has no shot.
Yeah, but not like every year. Like, you can't just write those. If you draft well, you can come back and recover. And I don't know. Okay. It seems
you have
like
to get lucky. Like, what? Name me the last number one player that went to Oklahoma City in free agency.
Yeah, but I don't think that's really dictated by free agency.
Well, parity means that every team has an equal chance to get players.
Well, but again, you've got number one picks that are making a difference in a lot of teams, like Wembanyama. So he's going to turn that franchise around.
Well, he's been out half the year.
Well, then, yeah, now he's hurt.
I mean, I don't trust the Frank, so I'm not like you.
You want to talk Patino? Let's go to
Would you give the Statue of Liberty back?
Probably
give it to Canada,
not.
Maybe
use it as a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
Could you replace it with something else?
Yeah, I would just say Tom Brady.
Who was at Logan yesterday, by the way?
Yeah, I saw him.
Ed in Westminster talking at Patino. Hello, Ed.
Hey, how you doing? I think there was two sides to that story. When Rick Pitino was there, I know everybody loves to bash him. I know.
Are you talking, Ed? Wait, Ed, are you talking about the Italian restaurant?
That was a misunderstanding.
Oh, okay. That's her name. Misunderstanding.
Let's talk about all he's accomplished. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Very talented.
Curtis called
you
him
don't
a
think
legit.
He's talented.
No, Curtis called him the best coach in
college
basketball history last week. So.
Yeah.
But when he was there, an hour back, and ML Carr was still around, there was part of his problem right there. And you got to remember, Red Auerbach was being replaced. They had to get Dave Gavitt to come in,
okay,
and take over for the great Red Auerbach.
Oh, so you think Red Auerbach wasn't really that great, Ed?
Auerbach was a phony.
You're a Rick Pitino fan calling Red Auerbach a phony? There's no bigger phony that's ever lived than Rick Pitino.
I didn't expect to go that direction.
God.
Wick is so proud of bringing Red back at the end there.
Oh, my God.
In those last 5 years.
Yep.
Now, do you think, hypothetical, Bill Chisholm?
Yeah.
Is he coming in as just Bill Chisholm, or is he coming in with the symphony group
I think
mentality?
He's going to run it like it's his number one passion play.
That's what I think. I think he's a...
I think he loves
lifelong
ball.
Fan.
I don't think he's. I think he's actually going to return the profit.
It is, but as you say, that with the Patriots push will be good. Plus the Red Sox starting in 5 days. Now, Scheim and Mega have both offered to sit in with the crossover. They only have an hour. They're both chomping at the bit.
Oh, well, they can both in. Come. Yeah, let's do it.
We'll do the roundtable. Roundtable discussion with Scheim and Mega next.
And Ed's going to call in and say why Red Hour back was overrated.
All right, Kenny Curtis, home stretch here, and then the Power Hour, the Mega and Scheim Power Hour, woo! Noon to 1.
Before we get to that, does anybody have more gigs than Boomer Esiason? Like, he makes, God love him, he's earned it, whatever, $2 to $3 million a year on the radio. And every time I turn the TV on the weekend, it's Boomer with some like...
He's got to replace that CBS money.
Oh, that's true.
He lost the gig.
Yeah.
But Scheim and Mega are here. We've got a roundtable going on. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
What's coming up on your program today?
We're going to talk a lot about the Celtics sale. That was a big story.
Yeah,
and, you know, Stephon Diggs and the Patriots, because who doesn't love ripping the Patriots?
I feel like, I don't know whether it's most Pats fans or most people in the region, but it's like there's been so many Red Sox-like stories out of the Patriots the last couple of years where I'm just like, just do it, don't do it, but don't tell me about it. Like,
you're talking about interest kings.
Interest kings.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it happens when your team's bad.
Yeah.
Like with the, we everybody around here got so spoiled with the Patriots being able to go out and sign somebody basically off waivers or trade for somebody just because they had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick here, and you assumed you had a good chance of going to the Super Bowl, and now you're the interest kings and you're trying to throw a bunch of money at everybody and getting four players down the list of wide receivers of where you thought you were going to sniff around.
You guys even brought it up earlier, the Milton Williams thing. Like, they weren't even in on him. They were not one of the three finalists, and then Chris Godwin clearly wasn't coming here. It's like, oh, we got all this money. Let's go spend it on Milton Williams all of a sudden.
Right. Well, they're rudderless. And I would say that you, Bego, did a great job this year in explaining sort of the juxtaposition of the Patriots with Drake May and Jaden Daniels with the Commanders.
Oh,
and it's like,
you.
Here we sit, and the offseason by the a team that didn't have, you know, that was already ahead of the Patriots when it comes to the roster and direction and all that, did far more this offseason than the Patriots have done. That trade for Tunsil, to me, of all the things that are inexcusable about the Patriots offseason, when you know Nick Caserio, when you're talking to me about Josh McDaniel's brother being on the staff, how do you let that happen where you don't get a guy that's such a talented left tackle but to protect Drake May?
I think it's an obvious question that everybody should be asking. But I wonder, like, okay, so with the Commanders, I think they were very intentional at this time last year with what kind of team they were going to build. They were going to go into their free agency and grab a bunch of kind of like mid-level vet guys and make it a professional operation and then get Jaden Daniels. I don't think even they thought that Jaden Daniels would take them as far as he took them last year. I think there was a lot of luck involved beyond the Hail Mary game-ending pass. But with the Patriots, I wonder, like, are they being as intentional as they describe and they're just doing it a way that we don't like?
Yeah.
It doesn't because even feel like it, though.
They're being really aggressive defensively, and we're sitting here going, yeah, but what about the two other most important positions on offense, which are still sitting pretty with nothing?
Yeah.
You really needed to go out and sign offensive linemen. Like, more than anything else on the planet, you needed offensive linemen.
Good news,
bodies.
You released one.
I know.
Yeah.
You got rid of David Andrews. You could have Joe Tooney and Tunsil for just draft picks.
And Curtis, what did you tell me the other day? The Jets signed Chucks Okorafor?
Yeah, Okorafor is a Jet. Guarantee you he'll have a good game against the Patriots.
But so dumb.
The thing that is, like, so confounding is you have Mike Vrabel, who, if I had to make a poster of the Bill Belichick acquisitions that are in his corner for why the dynasty was here and successful, Vrabel, a bit player with the Steelers, free agent. The Patriots bring him in, and he has, like, this one job on the edge of the 3-4 defense where he's like, you're going to be in this spot, you're going to be really talented at this, and he was obviously exceptional. To have him be here, understanding how a team was built, having a front row seat here and with the Titans and all this, and it just feels like it's been, okay, shiny object, we need someone to bring in. Even Godwin, I said at the time, love the guy. He would have fit in with the Patriot championship teams, like, no issues whatsoever. But he's not great anymore. Like, he's had a couple surgeries. He's not going to be a guy that's going to give Drake May this newfound weapon that's going to be able to take the top off the defense.
He's not DK Metcalf.
Right, or anywhere near
it. Who was available, by the way.
For less money.
Now, speaking of that, Tommy Curran said at the time, the Patriots were wary of the negative impact a demanding veteran wideout could have on your boy Drake May.
Right.
And then they bring in Steph Diggs.
Now Steph Diggs, who maybe they know better, maybe he's not a demanding veteran, Or is Drake May really soft?
No.
That
no.
they are worried about.
I don't get this narrative that
well,
I keep
hearing. Well,
that's
what Curry said.
No, this is the Patriots not wanting to pay a receiver.
Right.
Curtis said this to me the other day. I was wrong. He was right. It's that Kraft gave them a budget. He doesn't want to spend on receivers. He's like, spend anywhere you want. Just don't spend a ton of money unless they're amazing people.
That doesn't make any sense. Why
because they've never spent on receiver, ever, in the history of him owning the franchise.
Oh, my
never.
God. This just landed on me. Think about the receiver, the last one they spent a bunch of money on to bring in to the Patriots.
A bunch of money on a receiver.
He's on Twitter, CTESPN, which is his hashtag. What happened with Antonio Brown? Who did he attack? That's an extreme case, though.
I don't think it's
who do you go after?
I don't think it's fair to compare Steph Diggs or DK Metcalf to Antonio Brown.
Oh, I'm not saying that in any way, like, as a person. I'm just saying that Robert Kraft was burned as badly as you could possibly be burned, both on the field and off.
Terrific 10 days or
whatever. Oh, my God, was that a wild time. Remember, the greatest poll of all time was the one Ken put together, which was Friday, do you want the Patriots to sign Antonio Brown? 80-20 no. Monday, 80-20 yes.
Yeah. That was a rare moment when I saw Belichick, like, blow up in a press conference. Like, he walked out and slammed the door and basically, like, yelled something. We all heard it.
Oh, really?
We were like, oh, damn. We all, when they had to release him.
Oh, that was
but
such
I
a
think,
wild time.
Like, okay, so with the Tommy Kern report, he even said on his podcast, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but he said kind of like he was, that was his understanding, but it maybe didn't, maybe it painted too broad a brush from the DK Metcalf situation to how they're approaching all wide receivers. So, because I do think it's
a lot
they were
people, supposedly in on Godwin. So that would have been
well,
huge
Godwin,
money.
Everybody says, is like a choir boy.
Right. I mean,
but he didn't want to come here. Wanted to stay with his team.
It also doesn't make sense to me. Like, you brought in Josh McDaniels, who clearly loves top-end receivers because he went and got Devontae Adams when he was in Oakland. Like, he is fine with top-end guys, and yet you still just have this insistence on not bringing in offensive talent.
And
it's
insane traded,
to me.
They haven't traded a single draft pick, right, for this class?
Not yet.
No.
That's probably, I mean, that's, my guess is just a guess. Robert Kraft said, you have this money to spend, but you're keeping all these picks.
They still have the most money against the cap. Yeah, like, it's insane. They still have $73 million.
But that's why the cap is crap.
He gave them
a real money budget.
Right.
They spent all of that real money budget, and now they have to only use the rest of their money to sign their draft class.
It's insane. If they think that they're going to go into the draft and hit on a starting left tackle.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Which they're not going to. Even if you go in the second and third round and get guys who I like for offensive tackle, they are projects.
Yep.
I don't think you're going to get them up to speed for September. And then you think you're going to get a high-end receiver there who's also going to be a starter? That's beyond a prayer.
Right. And you even go back, and I heard David Andrews across the street yesterday, and he was talking about his rookie year. And he said that, you know, Tom was the one getting me, like, you know, I did my best, but Tom was the one that got me in all these right places. And you go back to before that, you could say, well, when Brady came in his first year as a starter, Matt Light was a rookie left tackle. But anything with Dante Scarnecchia related to it, I just think is an outlier. Like, that, the what they have missed since he left, the coaches they've gone through on the offensive line, and to think that you're going to get a rookie left tackle with a second-year quarterback and a new offense with Josh McDaniels all on the same page in one offseason in the draft is laughable.
It's also just, it shows the lack of preparedness. Like, this draft is loaded with interior defensive linemen. Loaded with them. And talented ones. Not just dudes. Like, so you could have gotten a guy who would have done what Milton Williams done on a rookie contract in the second round and used that money on something that, I don't know, might actually help your quarterback on offense.
Well, coming up, Mago, I need you to explain where the Celtics are going to make the second apron go away in the offseason, because that's what Wick hinted at, right, yesterday?
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Well,
he says everybody gets 2 years, right?
2 years. Aren't they in the second year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that plus the arena, very interesting times with the Celtics sale, plus NFL talk, I'm sure, coming up.
Absolutely. Yep.
Curtis, good job this week.
All right. We will see you Monday.
Okay.
And have a good show today. Don't, you know, pace yourselves before one.
Yeah. It's a long hour.
Yeah.
Well, especially with Simon Hour is a long time.
That's
so
true.
We're going to be sprinting. I've barely been on the radio in the last week. I went on vacation. I got my Diet Mountain Dew. Like, it's going to be a crazy hour.
All right,
don't
miss a second.